holy crap, Fatal Fury the movie at 3 a.m. I gotta be up for this. And that's when I really didn't have very good internet. And I'm like, I took what anime I could get. Even if it was a horrible, horrible, horrible movie.
So, shall we begin?
I guess so.
Rocket Punch, episode 22.
Recording on the 30th of,
Yes.
Or is it September already?
This is the second time we are recording this episode because Audacity vomited onto my computer and proceedingly vomited some more until the program crashed onto itself.
I had to cancel plans today. I had important garage sale stuff to do, but damn it, I needed to do the podcast too, so one thing had to go.
Okay, so today we review Tengetopa Gurren Lagann,
which is translated
Pierce the Heavens with Your Drill, and Breath of Fire Dragon Quarter,
otherwise known as Breath of Fire 5 to Japan and Europe. I think it was still Breath of Fire 5. I'm not sure on that whole thing.
But first of all, some actual news. Would you like to go first?
Yeah, sure. What, like video game stuff?
Because
I'm the video game guy, right?
The Taiko stuff. Was it Taiko?
Taito. No, it was... Okay, you guys know how Taito got bought out by Square Enix a while back. Looks like now Square Enix is going to be buying another smaller company, and this time Namco, is it Namco? Tecmo. There we go. Tecmo is being put up on the block. And, Tecmo made awesome games like, I don't know, Ninja Gaiden,
Dead or Alive.
To name one. I haven't played Dead or Alive, but I guess, yes, they
franchise.
Did make it. They did
it's
make
making
it.
Them money.
Fatal Frame, and that's Tecmobile. Those are the only ones I really know. That's the four games that really matter, I guess.
So, is Square Enix becoming the EA Japan?
I guess they are, but I don't know how to feel about that. What are these feelings I'm feeling?
It's ambiguity.
Yeah,
It's you don't know what's happening yet. Maybe Square Enix will announce Dead or Alive 5 with the characters of Final Fantasy 7.
You know, Dead or Alive already has, like, Ryu Hayabusa in it.
I know.
Yeah, so what are we going to have, like... Oh, man, like, we could have a new Mario basketball with Ninja Gaiden characters. Imagine that. Because you remember when they're like, oh, my God, Final Fantasy characters are all up in my DS Mario game.
I don't know what you...
You don't remember
about.
That? They put, like, a Black Mage and, like, I don't know, maybe Chocobos. They put, like, playable basketball characters into this DS Mario Brothers game. And Square Enix is like, you know what? Just throw them in there.
I tend to have fun with my video games, so I don't really...
Yeah.
I don't really play those kinds of
games. It wasn't a terrible game, but this opens up, a million possibilities. Sky's the limit.
Is Ryo Hayabusa going to show up in the new Kingdom Hearts?
Wielding a Keyblade? I hope he would just go jump into that whole universe and, like, slaughter everyone.
You see, if they brought in the Ninja Gaiden universe to play as a world in Kingdom Hearts, it would be...
The hardest world ever.
No,
it would be
G-rated.
It would be G-rated?
How can there be a G-rated Ninja Gaiden universe?
I don't know, just nothing but Hawks. The Hawk world.
I'm gonna...
The whole entire, like, you know how they're just, like, islands floating in outer space, right? They should just be, like, a hawk-shaped island. That would be the Ninja Gaiden world. But that's enough about that. That gives me nightmares just thinking about it.
So, is that all video game news that you have in general?
I don't know. That video game dude who's famous for being really, really good at Smash Brothers got onto the new Survivor.
I don't think that's gonna be good for him. I don't think he's gonna make it past the first month.
Yeah. I don't know. He was all like, hey, you know, all I do is play Super Smash Brothers Melee, but, like, I can think on my feet, and I'm fast, and it's not all about physical ability.
Is this on the CBS website?
Go on YouTube. If I don't remember his name, but somebody linked me, and they're like, oh, man, this guy is totally gonna die.
So type in Survivor and Smash Brothers Raw.
And hopefully you won't... Man, that's just asking for... Like, a whole Pandora's box of different things. When you try and combine any two things on YouTube, you don't get what you expect.
No. But is that it?
Yeah, I guess that's about it. If I miss something big, you know, it's probably something that I wasn't really paying attention to.
Okay. And animation news. We have about two interesting tidbits. First of all, Marvel and the Japanese animation studio Madhouse have formed a collaboration of sorts to do... animated series based off the Marvel properties, which include so far Wolverine and Iron Man getting their own anime, which would be both which of would be 13 episodes at 30 minutes.
So are these just like the same characters, same ethnicities and stuff? Like, are they going to make Spider-Man Japanese, or is it just going to be animated in a Japanese, like, madhouse?
They have been adaptations of Marvel properties before, and I'm not aware of what they've done to these, so I really don't know what it's going to be.
Like, I know they could do Wolverine stuff, because he's got that whole Japanese mythology thing built into his story, but I don't know. I don't really see Japanese Iron Man happening. Just doesn't, I couldn't imagine it. We'll see what comes of it, but I don't know. Awkward.
What makes you think it's awkward? I think it's an interesting interesting merger. I just don't know what's going to become of it.
Exactly. I mean, what could they do? He's like, wasn't he like, I haven't seen the new movie. Have you seen the 3D one?
No.
Wasn't he, I think in that movie, wasn't he some like rich, badass military guy? He's like, I created this crazy military suit and I'm like,
I haven't seen it.
I don't know. So, do what you want with it, you know. If it turns out it's good, awesome.
I don't understand why you're asking me questions about something I haven't seen, because it's not as though these memories are going to come to light.
Yeah, yeah, we've got a huge gray area, or at least I do in my comic book knowledge, you know? How many comic books do you read, Phil?
I read independent comics, I read Vertigo, I read manga, sometimes.
And I don't read anything that doesn't happen to have to do with video games or anime, so there you go.
That's kind of sad.
I know, I'm a very one-track-minded person. So anyway, any other animation types of news?
Well, this was a interesting bit of news for the fans of Adventure Time, the sexy new short that's been spanning the globe of YouTube for the past year or so. In a recent interview with the Animation Guild website, producer Fred Siebert announced, unofficially, an Adventure Time series for Cartoon Network. So be on the lookout for that in the next year or so.
Awesome. We got awesome shows like Flapjack and Chowder. Now we got Adventure Time.
That's
and,
three shows I watched on TV.
Better than, like honestly, I barely watch anything, so Cartoon Network's given me a lot to watch now.
Well, you don't have much of a taste outside of cartoons and 1980s sitcoms.
Yeah, you know, I guess Seinfeld. I watched Seinfeld.
I thought you said you stopped watching Seinfeld because you'd watched it too much.
I picked it up again. Everything's new to me now because I forgot it. It's been so long since I've seen it.
I see.
Yep, so another new cartoon to throw up on the animation block.
And other than the announcement that Wings Zero was stuck in between the years 1987 and 1995, there's no other new news.
All right.
We do, however, have a new email from a Mr. Jamal Jones. Hopefully I'm getting this right.
God, if this thing closes on us when we're trying to open it.
All right.
Thank God.
So, Jamal has written, as I will speak now. You guys, I've been meaning to send an email for a good while now, but I don't have regular access to a computer, as I am sure I've mentioned previously. But whatever. I'm a huge Sonic fan. I own all the Sonic games for the Genesis and every other Sonic main Sonic game up to Sonic Heroes. Sonic was something of a childhood hero to me, and it sucks that his games haven't been stellar since the Dreamcast. I still hold on to the hope that they'll be good again. However, which unfortunately means I'm a part of the vicious cycle. Anyway, here are my thoughts on the Sonic franchise. I'll try to keep it short. Hang on, I think I...
You want me to continue?
No. That's just I felt like I missed part of the email.
Alright.
But thank you. Sonic 1 through 3 and Knuckles were great. Sonic Adventure 1 and 2 were decent as a whole, but had great Sonic and Shadow levels. Sonic Heroes was a good new start, but the potential was never fully realized beyond that as the sequels hadn't been as good since. In my eyes, a good Sonic level is like the ultimate parkour one. Do you know what parkour means?
Was the parkour run, wasn't that the thing that the Millennium Falcon did in like 5 parsecs in Star Wars?
I don't think that's an actual...
It did the parkour run in 5 whatever that measurement
I don't think that's
was.
An actual non-fictional statement.
Ah. Well, then we have no idea what that means.
All right.
Continue.
At first, it might be slow and clumsy, but once you figure out the approach, things can go real fast. For example, Marble Zone in Sonic 1 is a pretty slow-moving stage overall, but a veteran can get through the stage without many stops at all. In other words, speed was the reward for doing well. Sonic games have lost sight of that. Nowadays, a typical stage is about going fast for the sake of going fast. Case in point, Sonic Rush. Fun game, but never have the words, hold right to win it, ever been more true. The physics-based gameplay has been completely removed in favor of exquisite roller coaster rides. Sonic Unleashed looks to be a step in the right direction, but we've said that about the past 3 Sonic games.
More like the past 6.
I don't have too much of a problem with the whole werehog nighttime segments, unlike a lot of other Sonic fans. The way I've rationalized it is the slower Werehog segments is Sega's excuse to have a slower Mario-type platforming, without dealing directly with the character himself in a way. It's almost as if Sega is retroactively saying that there's nothing wrong with slower-style platforming, which completely contradicts their philosophy in the 90s. Bottom line, I'm all for it as long as there is some quality platforming. Sonic and the Black Knight. Ugh. Sonic and the Secret Rings is okay. Aside from the terrible jumping mechanics, flawed controls, and it forces you to stop. Just like the later Sonic games. It's just not a good idea if you're trying to sell the whole speed aspect. Anyway, it could be good if the sword stuff doesn't get too much in the way. Which it will. Crap. Finally, to touch on the story aspect, in the Genesis games, the story was there if you wanted it. Sonic 3 and Knuckles had a really amazing story, for its time. And it was done with no over-the-top scenes or voices at all. Sonic Adventure 1 started the trend of huge, expansive stories, and it worked. The Sonic Heroes came and didn't have any story at all, and cutting off the heroes left the biggest story in the Sonic franchise, and consequently left it with a huge plot hole and many more questions posed. Then there's the emo hedgehog and the bestiality is a-okay. Bottom line, that should do it. They should do it like Mario Galaxy. Put the story there, but only if you want to see it. In regards to the various TV series, Saturday AM is the best, and Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog was Bugs Bunny with Sonic. Sonic Underground was garbage, and Sonic X was cool with me until they started raping the stories of Sonic Adventure 1 and 2. The dub was awful as well. That's all I have to say about that. Can't wait for more episodes of the podcast. I'm disappointed that I didn't even get to hear episode 20. Oh well, later. Jamal. P.S. I gave a shout-out to you guys on an Anime World order of voicemail. Though through the subsequent episode hasn't come out yet, I was ranting that practically every vid-related work has been edited in some form. So much rage. There's another story, though. LOL. So, where are we going to begin on this?
So much. We already had the Sonic podcast, so I'd say we addressed basically everything we could, but if you want us to talk more about it, sure, we've got
more
to talk
about it.
Well,
at this point, I think it's more just a matter of people's taste with the Sonic franchise, but I think Jamal definitely hit the head here when it came to the speed aspect and the puzzle aspect.
Exactly. When I tried Rush, I was like, where's the... You know, like the original Sonic games, you had an upper level where you could kind of jump on platforms. You had the middle one where you could just run real fast, and you had the slower areas on the bottom. You know, that's just like the first level of Sonic 2, so it gave you different ways to proceed to the right of the level. But I agree with you on Rush. It's just like, well, you don't need the spin dash. Just press the nitro button and hold right. It's fun, but they're only like halfway there, you know. But it's still better than all these crappy 3D ones that they were making.
And in terms of story for the older ones, it definitely, it was there, and, like, they gave you a very, I thought, it was always a very basic story. There's Knuckles, he's evil, oh, is Ridley being controlled by Robotnik somehow? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I was going to say, you said that you don't really have a problem with that Werehog stuff, and, like, I don't either if it's good, but the way it looks, you're saying... They're trying to make it more like Mario Brothers, kind of like a slower-based platform thing, and that it contradicts their earlier 90s stuff. Well, I really don't think at this point Sonic is even competing with Mario on the same level for platforming.
I think at this point he's still trying to get a grasp on what platforming is in this era.
I don't know. I've seen stuff, and we've said it before, they just don't know what the fans want, or they think
it's
they
not a
do.
Matter of what the fans want, it's a matter of the actual direction in the Sonic series, because there's so many gimmicks that they've tried to lay out for these 3D games.
Exactly, that's what it is. It's a gimmick. It's not them trying to make the Werehog thing into like a competing with Mario slow platformer puzzle type thing. It's them trying to get new people into it. And by doing that, they're alienating the old fans.
It's not a matter of alienating the old fans. It's a matter of getting fans in general. It's a matter of actually having a game that people want to play. But I guess they do get very large sales in some of these Sonic games.
Oh, man. Like, you look at Shadow the Hedgehog. That is an over a million seller. They had that, like, yellow-labeled GameCube box. I've seen it. I'm like, how did this sell over a million copies? This is ridiculous.
Exactly.
I don't know.
That is exactly the point. They don't need to, if they're making money off these kinds of games, they don't need to try and get a grasp on what Sonic is. They can just keep coming out with these gimmicks.
Right, they could keep doing really bad, and regardless of what they do, it'll sell. All right. So Unleashed happens to be good, awesome. But just like you said, we've been disappointed with the last ones. I don't expect anything from the new games. You know, that era is past.
And in terms of you sending AWO a voicemail, I thank you very much for that, because AWO is a rare treat every month. It tends to come out with their 3-hour masterpieces. Even if I'm never going to watch the anime, I still enjoy them talking about it.
They have a 3-hour long podcast?
They do something like 1.5 to 3-hour podcasts at most.
Like, the most ours are like, I think we did one that was like 1 hour 15. I think that was like the Metal Gear Solid one.
They have 3 people, and at times when they're doing 3-hour ones, they will bring in one extra person.
Right, like I saw you put the, you threw the promo at some guys with the
Otaku Generation?
Yeah, and their podcast is long, man.
And there's maybe 4 or 5 of them, isn't there?
Something like that.
And
I didn't listen
to
them.
I'm very happy that they put up the promo, no hassle. Yeah. It was very easy to just email them the promo. I'm like, here's the promo, here's a synopsis of our sexy podcast.
And they were just like, hey, sure, we'll put it in there, no problem.
Yeah.
They were very nice about it. Well, you know, thanks for the email.
Jamal.
We look forward to hearing more from you, I guess.
So, are we going to start with Breath of Fire?
I guess, because that was what I was just playing for, like, 3 hours before I went to sleep in my 2 hours this morning.
Wing Zero and I have had some discussions on Breath of Fire.
Dragon Quarrel.
Quarter.
Yeah, quarter. I know. It's
a quarter. It's a quarter.
Yeah.
And we are obviously a bit mixed on it.
Phil does not like this game, and reasonably so, but I like it even though it has an insane amount of faults, so we're just gonna, like, go through this and try and get it done, you know?
Alright, shall we begin with the basic story? You are, as in every other Breath of Fire game, Ryu, a guy with a sword and blue hair.
Except now, you live underground.
You see, most Breath of Fire games come from the stereotypical Japanese RPG set of fantasy games. Like, per se, the first one, you were getting revenge for your fallen dragon clan to revive the 7 silver keys of Omar from the Legend of the
Omar?
Temple.
Was it really Omar?
I think it was Omar.
That's hilarious. I haven't played the first one.
And the second one was the stereotypical mass religion brainwashing the world.
So that was kind of the Xenogears of the Breath of Fire thing, right?
They did it before Xenogears.
Did it?
Yeah.
Awesome. Good job, Breath of Fire 2. And, third one, it was like, you know, you're a bunch of punk kid thieves, and then it just rolls very slowly from there.
A bunch of punk kids out for adventure.
Yeah. And then it turns out you kill God at the end of the game.
Well,
surprise.
Well, you do that in the second one, too.
And then the fourth one, you also do that. And at this last one, you actually fight like a dragon at the end, which
so
is kind of different.
You're wondering, how is this any different than the previous ones? Is there perhaps some kind of actual plot to go along with?
Well, as far as how the game plays, how it's presented, almost everything was thrown out the window from the previous Breath of Fires, and they basically started a completely new everything from scratch. Whether that's good or bad is up for debate, but that's what we're here to talk about.
So, in terms of a combat system, it's kind of, I think at best you could call it like a Chrono Trigger system, where it can be, it's standing still, you make your decisions, you have your layout, attack, magic, items, and other options for techniques, and your attack, and you'll have like this whole area to move about, and this whole area to do your attacks with, be they like long range or so forth.
Right, but I'd say it's a bit more like Grandia 2. Have you played that?
I've played Grandia 2.
I think it's a bit more, because you're moving around in a 3D environment, and like,
that's what I meant.
Right. Well, basically, like, it's not it's turn-based like the other games, but it's presented very, very differently. You get, like, instead of a magic bar, you have an AP bar. If you walk towards the enemy, every step you take gets rid of some of your AP. And you could get to an enemy and then be like, oh, I ran out of AP right when I'm within range, and then I don't have any left to attack him. And then you just kind of stand there to let your opponent attack you until the turn ends, and then you have to, then your bar regenerates itself.
That's not very fun.
Not at first. Like, this game is ridiculously hard at the beginning for, and basically all the way through the game, for, like, no reason. it's they throw this new gameplay mechanics at you, and they give you like two pop-up windows in which to explain how this whole new thing works. And you're like, I don't understand that. Give me more to work with, you know? They give you a lot of stuff. The first thing they do is, you know, it's not random battles. You see an enemy, just like Phil was saying for, like, Chrono Trigger. And you can, like, throw a piece of meat, and it'll distract him. And if you get a first hit on him, you can hit, you get an extra turn. And it's, like, nothing like the previous games. But, ugh. It's just it's too hard, and it's too busy.
I think the term I came up with when we were trying to discuss this is that it's like you're preparing to give a test on the state capitals and the states, and then suddenly your test is the history of South America.
Right. They give you... It's... Even if you understand everything about the game, you're not going to be prepared for what it's going to give you.
Which is frustrating.
Which is very, very frustrating.
Because, you see, in normal psychology... Like, per se, you want to teach your dog to sit, because it's young, it's prepared to do these kinds of things, and it learns how to sit. Instead of giving it a treat, you punch it in the face.
Yeah, your only reward for doing better in this game is harder bosses and harder difficulty. And, you know, it's, for the reason that it gives you, is it wants you to get a game over. And I know what you're thinking, what, the game wants me to get a game over
on purpose?
The game
wants me to restart.
And that doesn't make any sense. That's never been done in a game before. And it's really weird. You'll die, and then it gives you an option. Would you like to start back from your last save, or would you like to restart the entire game with your party experience and like all of your equipment and the skills that you've earned? And then it's assuming that you're going to be able to understand the game better and be able to play through it better now that you have better equipment, and then you'll be better prepared once you get to the next boss. And then if you do get to that boss and you beat it, it just punches you in the face again, because it's like, hey, now you did better, here's another harder boss, start the game over again.
Whew. That sounds demanding. Is there at least like any kind of reward for resetting the game?
Well, there's this entire system is called the Soul System, and I think it's either Scenario Overlay or System Overlay or something like this, but you're rewarded in a couple of ways. If you're to restart the game, obviously, indirectly, I'm going to say, you'll know how to get through areas better because you'll know enemies' weaknesses. Like, let's say there's a robot area and you've got an electric sword, and, like, it'll do, like, twice as much damage. Okay, that's indirectly. But the main thing that it wants to give you is more story elements. If you restart the game, it'll give you cutscenes. Like, your controller will rumble and it'll say Soul. And it'll give you cutscenes that you normally would not have understood what they were talking about had you not gotten to that later point earlier in the game.
So it's elaborating on the plot. Is it a good plot?
It is, actually. I know you didn't get all the Soul System stuff because you kind of gave up on it reasonably so.
I gave up 6 hours in. I had played the game for 6 hours before I said, I have no want to play this
game. Enough is enough. Right.
I do not read a book to have someone come in at the beginning, they're like, hang on, I gotta do something to this book, and cut out pages. I don't read a book like that.
These are pages back for starting the book over.
Oh, thanks.
Now it makes more sense.
And I think my other problem was is that this is like reading a Goosebumps book. This isn't high literature. This is not something I'm compelled to read. It's just something, like, if I was a kid, I'd be like, hey, Goosebumps, so bored. I hope they get into that mansion and scare them ghost good.
And I can understand that, because I remember playing through the beginning of the game, like, this game has, like, no story. But then all the stuff that that they added, like, I went through the game again, I'm like, oh, now this is much better. But why didn't you just have that in the beginning to pull in new people from the beginning? You know? You didn't need to reset the game to explain stuff that barely, you know, doesn't make sense.
So it doesn't have the plot to make up for the reset.
No. So restarting the game, not validated by giving you a little bit more story. The other thing that it does is it gives you, obviously you're going to have better weapons at the beginning of the game, and you have things called party experience, which is, normally you gain experience through fighting bad guys, but you have...
But based on the reset system, you would go back and start at level 1.
Right, but this party experience is like a totally different experience thing, different from your character. It's like a rare candies in Pokemon, if you will. You can kind of divide up level ups between your characters automatically.
Rare candies for people.
Yeah, it's an item you use on your character, automatically levels them up. So you would restart the game and use up all your extra, your party experience, and Ryu would start the game at level 10, you know? And it's like, oh, this is much easier. And that kind of helps, but, you know, it's not, it still doesn't make the game easy enough. You know, why not just make the game well-balanced in the first place, not have to restart for this, you know? It had a lot of interesting ideas. They're just not executed well. Here's another thing that happens when you lose the game. You lose all your items unless you store them with a... There's like a storage character. They're like, hey, you know, here's your extra items. You don't need them. Put them into storage, and they'll carry you over to another thing. Like, you remember in Majora's Mask how people got pissed off? They lost all their rupees because they had to start when they started the levels over. It's kind of like that same kind of thing. But I got so ticked off because there's an item you can get in the game called Gold EXP, and just having it in your inventory gives you 10% more experience and makes the game easier. But if you don't store them, they don't carry over, and if you forget and restart the game, it's like, oh, I could have made the game like twice as easy, but I forgot about it and I restarted the game stupidly.
So is there anything major that you'd like to hit on with this game before we end this review?
Lots of great ideas, but terrible execution, because they could have been done exactly the same way that they were done in 4 through 1. You know, it's interesting way to do it, but why fix something that's broken, you know?
Well,
it's not broken.
Stereotypical.
It is.
The Breath of Fire series is very stereotypical of the RPG genre.
Well, you know, it created a lot of those cliches, along with, like, Dragon Warrior, Dragon Quest, whatever it is now.
I think it started as Quest.
Yeah, it's Dragon Quest now. But is it forgivable to punish the player for trying to do better, you know, when you're just trying to enjoy the, like, average story? No. You know?
So,
I liked it, honestly, but I put so much effort into it. Like, you know, obviously there was something that I got out of it, but only because I'm such a huge Breath of Fire fan that I can excuse them.
All right. My review of this is a little more dismal than Wing Zero's. I think this was a very nice experiment of a game, but just a very failed concept. Because I'm all for new ideas in video games. I just beat Braid.
Yeah, so, Braid is amazing.
Well, you just played it for a few, just maybe an hour.
Well, yeah, but I still played it. I mean, like, you got enough out of Breath of Fire to either say it's good or bad. I played enough of Braid, I think, to say if it's good or bad.
And Braid is a very new... Braid is, frankly, an experiment in a new concept for a game.
Right.
This was an experiment for trying new things in RPG, and I thought it failed in that.
Yeah, I gotta agree. It's, like I said, a lot of great ideas, just, everything's countered by something. They give you a good idea, and then they throw something in your face that completely makes that pointless. You know?
Maybe they were being too comfortable, because maybe the plot is still as stereotypical as most of the other plots they tended to make. Maybe they needed to realize that in order for this system to work, they needed to make a much stronger story to compensate for that.
Right, like if the battle system had been more fun, had there been an insanely higher amount of story to validate the resets, had there been more to this game, probably would have the gameplay stuff, you know, the whole resetting thing, maybe that would have been worth it. But as it stands, no, and it's a very average game for now.
Okay. Cool.
Alright.
We're done with Breath of Fire Dragon Quarter. Is this a chapter we can put behind our lives?
I guess.
Because we're going to talk about fun now.
Alright.
Because we're getting out of the Ben Stein's gym of fun, and we're going into the funnasium. The real funnasium.
The ball pit?
Yeah. There's literally a giant ball pit, and you put a quarter in, and the
door
opens.
And then it sends you down a water slide.
Yes. Into the ball pit.
Oh man, we should design water parks, shouldn't we?
I think we may kill some people. I mean, literally hundreds of people with these concepts. Because I bet there's, like, you know, you can only have about 50 pounds of balls, and otherwise the person may suffocate within the balls. Like, no! Tons and tons of pounds of balls! Bring them to me!
That's why you have the trampoline at the bottom of the pool, so they bounce back up. See? We covered everything!
So, Tengadopa Gurren Lagann, or Pierce the Heavens with Your Drill. A series that is fairly popular with the anime populace at the moment.
And for good reason, because it's pretty damn good.
It is. I would have to say, the studio who did this, Gainax, is essentially sending out a 10-year too late apology letter for Evangelion, and perhaps the last 10 years of work they've done.
Yeah, you know, if you were upset with stuff like Mahoromatic and He Is My Master, and probably everything past the halfway point in Evangelion where it stopped being a good mech show and just got preachy, this is what you've been waiting
for. This is like Gainax coming with a giant cake and just going, and with a little greeting card that's with a little puppy that's frowning.
And then a puppy comes out of the cake. And you're all like, oh,
that's adorable.
And then the puppy kicks your ass.
Because of the badass puppy.
Yeah. So, Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann.
Or just Gurren Lagann, it's being called in America.
Gurren Lagann. Surprisingly starts out almost exactly like Breath of Fire Dragon Quarter. You have two main characters, Simone and
Kamina.
And Kamina.
Living their free childhood youth underground, working as... Well, literally working to survive. Simone is... Oh, man. What was he searching... Were they just scavengers just looking for things?
There were punks, and there were...
Well, Simone was a digger, and the diggers were... Oh, they were drilling for wells, right?
It wasn't even that. They're underground, so obviously...
They were digging for more space.
Yeah.
That's it. They cannot go... They cannot go to the surface, because otherwise they would be killed.
Right, because if there's something going on the surface that's making earthquakes, and the only way to get away from those is to go down even further to avoid, you know, the roofs collapsing on you and stuff like that.
And Simone is one of the diggers. So this is maybe 13 years old, a very small kid at this time of the series.
And Kamen is kind of like, he's his hero. He's like his big brother.
He's literally a no-good punk, but he is a badass no-good punk.
Yeah, best glasses ever.
He's got, if... Warpool's a picture of the glasses, but they are, like, definingly, like, what is cool if you are an anime fan this moment.
Like, there's a difference between, like, Vash's glasses from Trigun, which are kind of, like, hipster, you know, where they're circular and they're just, like, they got the zigzags. But these are just, like, pointy and just, they're badass.
So.
And he has them on, have we mentioned any other main points to the story yet?
Let's elaborate from here, because... Like, there, so this is a 27-episode series, and we're only going to elaborate on the first three episodes, which is really, like, the setup of the series. I would say, if you have any thoughts about checking out the series, try out the first three episodes. There's currently a subset out on DVD from Bandai Entertainment. It's the first nine episodes, but they're only in Japanese... the Japanese language with subtitles right now.
Well, that's kind of weird.
It's because there's been such a long wait for the show on account of the licensing issues it's had in the past year. Because, you know, ADV Films had this formerly.
And now who has it now?
And now Bandai has it because there was a falling out between the company that ADV got the license with.
Alright, so what happens to our friends Kamina and Simone?
Well, you would think that at some point in time they'd want to get to the surface, which is Kamina's ideal, because his father was up there. Years ago, he went up there.
And he never came back, because he was an explorer.
And you would think, nah, they're not going to go up to the surface. Maybe two or three episodes are kind of contemplative. But no.
Go straight up. Reach the heavens.
A monster literally crashes down on them. And this is what is called a gunman. A gunman?
Gunman, yeah.
And with that, a busty sniper. I would say.
Yeah. And this she's just kind of like taking down this giant monster robot.
With just a sniper rifle.
This thing's like 50 times her size, you know? It's like ridiculously big. And Kami's like, who's that? Man, she's badass. Hey, listen, you want to help me get up to the surface?
But
he kind of just ignores it.
You know what? What I didn't even elaborate on is before this, he basically confronts this giant beast with nothing but a sword.
Oh, yeah. Man, that was great. That robot's all laughing at him. And, like, these robots can talk. So,
well, there's little people piloting them. They're little beastmen, if you will.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're called.
Oh, man. And then, you know, they're trying to escape. The whole place is crashing down on him. And, you know, Simon, because that's all he knows what to do, starts drilling. And he's looking for this thing he found earlier. And it's a tiny robot. It's a, you know, robot head.
And he also found this little drill that he found. Little, like, ornament drill.
Right.
And when you know it, it's the ignition key for the robot.
And they power up that robot, and they kick some ass and get to the surface.
And that is episode one.
And, yeah, that's a lot
and
to say even just for one
so
episode.
So, the reason we gave that synopsis is that maybe you think we're spoiling it. I say that's just the minimum of what this show does. Because I think this show is very good, but what it essentially is that it's like you're watching a football game, and then the team you like is doing really well. Then somewhere during the match, your team shoots a bazooka and blows up half the stadium.
And
it's
then you're
that
like,
cool.
Holy crap.
It's that cool. And then they score a touchdown.
Yeah, and like they're not penalized for doing any of that. This anime just crushes your expectations over and over and over again.
Absolutely.
It is amazing. Like the way they got their first robot, you know, when they start piloting it in episode 2. So freaking good.
We're not going to elaborate from this point on about spoilers because there's a lot. This show is very fast-paced.
Right, and you're going to be wanting more all the time.
Like if you like giant robot shows.
And who doesn't? We at Rocket Punch love our giant
robot.
We're
kind of named after the move of giant robots.
Oh yeah. And I got to say there's some rocket punching in here, isn't there? At least some head throwing.
There's some. I bet there's a rocket punch at some point, because they probably do every move in the book.
Hmm.
But anyways, let's talk about some of the technical aspects. What do you think of the artwork?
The artwork, I know at least some of the guys who worked on Fooly Cooly animated some of this.
Yeah,
and
there's a lot of really high-tier Japanese animators working on this show.
Right, and it's, I don't know, it's like sometimes it looks kind of abstract and, like, angular when they're moving really fast and, you know, like, swords are clashing and stuff like that. And then other times it's really smooth, you know, the animation changes to meet exactly what you want it to, you know?
Okay. I agree with that. Yeah. And the artwork is beautiful. I'd say this is one of the nicest looking shows that was on TV when it came out.
Even in the first episode where they get to the surface, they show a sunset, and you're like, wow, that looks really nice. And then they get attacked by some robots, but the sunset was pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And what else is there? There's the music, which is... There's not much music in Gurren Lagann within the 27 episodes, but there are tracks that you are going to memorize by the end of the show.
I'd say there's about 5 main tracks, one of which is remixed at least 7 times.
One of which is an operatic symphony of this.
Oh, man, they reuse the music so well.
You become so accustomed to what's going to happen in those moments.
It's kind of like in the old Power Rangers stuff, how like when they would cue music, you'd be like, oh crap, something's about to go down, and like nothing's happened yet, and it builds up your anticipation, and then it explodes, giant robot fight.
All right,
see it coming. It's just the way they do it, though, will blow your mind.
All right. Also, there's one little bit of dialogue I'd like to mention before we go on.
Uh-huh.
Now, Simon, being this very little kid, has little confidence in himself, and Kamina, being this literally red-hot-blooded man, says this to him once: don't believe in me. Believe in the me that believes in you, who believes in yourself.
Yeah. So, and then you hear that, and you're like, what? That doesn't make any sense. And then they kind of justify it later on. They're like, oh, yeah, it's just a roundabout way of saying believe in yourself because I believe in you.
It's a badass way. It's a badass word.
It's like saying, I didn't not, you know, did you like Breath of Fire Dragon Quarter? I didn't not like it, you know?
Touché.
Yeah, that's the exact same kind of thing that you're doing there. Man, I love how they throw all these anime cliches for the giant robots at you. And
like,
they just
literally
throw a billion spins on how it happens.
Literally, you can see references to various other robot anime and a lot of the actions that they perform, but just the style that they use for it just makes up for these references.
I would say this is... Would you say it's style over substance? I mean,
definitely.
It's definitely that, right? You've got crazy robot fights, and most of the time, it's just like it's a feast for the eyes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at stuff, and you're like, oh my god, this is too much action is hitting me at once. This is crazy.
The only thing I'd say is that there are these lull moments where you need to set up and understand what's happening, and just these few episodes in between now and then to give a lot of exposition before you get into the real meat of this. When these moments happen, stay with it.
Exactly.
I mean,
because
that
they will shatter your expectations even again. Like, even when they're slow, they'll, like, for example, they'll bring back a character you thought was gone from the series, or, you know, they'll do something crazy. you know?
But let's not delve into anything.
Well, I'm just saying, like I don't want to spoil stuff this from earlier people. Episodes, just like many anime and video games do. And I'm like, oh wow, that's cool that they reference themselves yet again. And everything just seems to kind of connect towards the end of the series.
All right, I know I've watched some of the dub. Have you watched anything on the Sci-Fi channel?
I don't think anything besides what you actually showed me.
Did I show you anything?
You did, and I was saying how Kamino's voice actor didn't have, like, enough strength and spirit, fighting spirit in his
like,
voice.
I like this dub. But generally my one problem with it was Kamino's character, who is just, like, in Japanese, he is extremely over the top, whoever voiced him.
Right, and this is kind of just, like, he's kind of smug in this.
Maybe I'm wrong, but... He hits the tone that's needed eventually.
Right, but it takes him a while to get there then, right?
Yeah. And I really like a lot of the other voices in this show. And I think it's only about 7 episodes in so far.
Right.
And we haven't even been introduced to half the cast.
Right. Like, Simon, perfect. No problems with him. What's the name of the
Yoko?
Girl? Yoko, perfect. No problem with that. But then, like...
Leron.
I guess he's
perfect.
A main character. That's fine,
you know,
too,
that was
though.
That Spike from Cowboy Bebop.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow. He is... Well, you know, he's done everything. He was the robot on Toonami.
He was, He's been done Hanna-Barbera voices.
Has he?
What has he been doing? He did Yucky Duck for Harvey Birdman.
Oh, wow. But he's been everywhere. I mean, he probably should have his own, like, voice acting studio by now. I wouldn't be surprised if he already does have one of those.
All right. So, is there anything else we want to say about this amazing show?
Wow. Stick with it. If there's any point where you think it's not so great, it'll just blow you away later on, and it'll completely make up for any... doubts that you would have with the series. It's really, 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 really good. It's a roller coaster ride.
All right, then. I agree.
Yeah, is it?
That's all I have to say. I agree. All
right, cool. All
right, then. And this has been Rocket Puns episode 22.
Yeah, the 45-minute podcast extravaganza.
And just to tell you this, episode 20 does not exist in any form.
Yeah, we were very lazy the week we were supposed to do 20.
I was out. I was in another part of the country.
Well, you know, we were supposed to make... You know, you came back on that Sunday, and we were totally going to do it, and you're like, yeah, I'm tired from my trip. I'm like, that's understandable if you're tired. And I'm like, I'm pretty lazy, too. So, you know what we'll do is we'll just allude to an episode that never happened to
Even
Mascar.
Even though, just to make sure that people who are new to the podcast will be like, so I've watched episodes 1 through 19, but where's episode 20?
Yeah,
I can't find it on the webpage or on the iTunes page.
Yeah, I would laugh if somebody was like, yeah, I've seen all the episodes, even episode 20. I'd be like, you lie, sir. That episode does not exist. Maybe retroactively we'll go back and we'll make an episode 20.
I don't know. I don't want to ruin it.
We would have to get pretty far into the podcast. We would be at episode 49, and then all of a sudden, episode 20! And it's like, sorry, you have to wait another episode for episode 50.
So
I don't even know what I would do at an episode 50. That would be
we're
nuts.
Gonna review Disney's Hercules
animes.
We're gonna review Disney's Hercules at episode 50.
Do we have to?
No,
I mean,
but we have to review something.
Yeah, we'll review our own podcast.
How about review Garfield? Review Garfield gets real.
Oh god, that was terrible. Like, we need to do something. There's worse out there than Garfield gets real. Like, we could really, really punish ourselves and put up Grandma Get Hit by a Reindeer if we
Ooh,
really
that's
didn't
gonna be the Christmas episode, you know?
Would it? Oh,
I need to
wow.
get, like, special guest stars, everyone.
We should, no, we should be the Gremlins for Christmas, but that's not animated.
That's so. Not anime. That's not anime at all.
That's a big gray area with Muppets. Are Gremlins Muppets? They are. They gotta be, right?
They're puppets.
They're puppets,
Muppets.
Then.
I don't know.
The scary,
in any
scary
case,
puppets.
If you want to contact us, check us out at wingmonkey@gmail.com or check out our Chexy Blogspot page.
You know, we also have, like, a comment kind of thing going underneath each podcast. You could be like, hey,
talk
I
about us.
It.
Hey, like, maybe after we do our podcast, you can say, when's the next one coming up?
Yeah, you could bother us. We don't care. Just say stuff. You
we
know?
Like hearing, we like feeling important.
Let us know that you're there.
Cool.
All right, and if you got, like, I don't know, requests, you want us to talk about something specific, God forbid you want us to talk about, you know, something that we had touched on already that you disagree with, you know, whatever. You know, just let us know that you're listening.
All right. So this has been episode 22.
And I guess that's it for the episode.
And we're gonna...